If you have your Bibles this morning, if you would find the book of Mark, Mark chapter number 10 will be our text. While you're finding the book of Mark, it would probably behoove you to go ahead and put some things in some other passages of Scripture. Isaiah chapter number 6 would be a place that if you wanted to get ahead, you could maybe put your marker there or some kind of piece of paper, Isaiah chapter 6. And then in the New Testament, if you wanted to put something in 2 Corinthians chapter number 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and chapter 4, those will be a few Bible places that we will turn to rather quickly throughout the message. I'm continuing the series today that began 2 weeks ago entitled The Compassionate Christ. This is a series that is designed to give a true picture of the person of Jesus Christ, to give a true understanding of what it is to have a personal relationship with Him. My friends, I don't know if you know about this or not, but you can have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. What a joy it is to be able to know and live in that relationship. Such confusion is there out there, such misunderstanding, such error and such untruth that I believe is keeping people from the Lord. Such a disappointment and a discouragement and a despising that's felt there. And none of those things are true about Christ. And so God has moved on me a burden to look at the life of Christ on the earth and allow people to see how He treats people, what He does, who He is, how that influences and impacts and empowers their lives. I'm preaching today for the souls of men and women. If you're here and you've never repented of your sin and trusted Christ, I'm preaching for you, but I'm also preaching to the Christian today. And I want you to stay with me, Christian, because when we get to the end of this message, I've got a challenge and a truth that I believe that God has given specifically to for your life and for my life today. We began looking at the impotent man of John chapter 5. And we saw that he was a man that was laying by that pool of Bethesda and unable to get help. And that man, there was no man to help him, the Bible says, until he met the Lord Jesus. And then the Lord Jesus became the help of his life. Last week, we went to the adulterous woman of John 8, and we saw a woman who was basically a pawn under condemnation, used by people that were diabolical. And we said that a lot of folks have the mentality that they are simply a pawn when it comes to God, or a pawn when it comes to the Lord Jesus. And they look at the Lord and they say, well, I don't like the way my life is, therefore I cannot trust Him because all He is moving me about as a pawn. But we realize that it wasn't Christ that moved that woman like a pawn. It was the enemy that treated her like a pawn. The Lord Jesus treated her like a person. And when the Lord Jesus came face to face with this woman and this person, He was able not to bring her under the condemnation or judgment of her sin, but brought to her life and freedom in the Lord. And so it was a marvelous and wonderful demonstration of the love of Christ. Today we come to one of the greatest events of the Bible, one of the greatest events of grace, one of the great miracles that Christ performs. I need to give you just a little bit of setting. As you in Mark chapter 10, you will transition into Mark chapter 11. And this event that we're going to read about is located in three books of the Bible. It's located in the book of Matthew, it's located in the book of Mark, and it's located in the book of Luke. We understand that from the book of Mark, that the Lord Jesus is on His way to Jerusalem. Just a few verses prior to our text, the Lord Jesus looks to the disciples and He declares unto them His passion. He declares unto them that He will be crucified. He declares unto them what is going to happen in His life. And He's on His way to Jerusalem for that to happen. When you get to Mark chapter number 11, you begin to read about Palm Sunday. You begin to read about the triumphal entry of the Lord. You begin to read about the fulfillment of the prophecy of Zechariah that the king would come riding on the foal of an ass, lowly in that position. And you begin to read about how they took the palm branches down and spread them in the way. And Hosanna, Hosanna, King of Kings. And there's this movement that's filled with misunderstanding as the Jewish folks are getting ready to welcome the Lord Jesus into Jerusalem. And to them, it seems like the perfect storm that's coming together, because in a few moments they're going to celebrate Passover, which is a marvelous time for them. And they see Jesus coming in, and their hopes is that he's going to free them from the Roman rule, free them from the slaves that they are to Rome. And so they see him as a physical king, not as a spiritual king. So when the Lord Jesus testified that he was coming to be crucified, nobody wanted to receive that. Nobody wanted to believe that. They had their hopes set. So you have to understand that Jesus is now toward the end of his ministry, and he's moving that way. And while he's moving to Jerusalem, he's moving on this key point, and the city is becoming electric. The city is buzzing. Families are getting together. They're buying their stuff. They're preparing their place. They're getting ready for the Passover. And so there's purpose and there's meaning. And now this ruler is coming in, this rabbi. And I mean, it just seems like everything is right. Pick up, if you would, in Mark chapter 10, and if you would look at verse number 46. The Bible says, "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people." So there's people following him, and it's a multitude. And when he came out of Jericho with this great number of people, if you figure out the rest of the verse, it says, "Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging." When you get to the end of the chapter, you will realize that the miracle that happens is that the Lord Jesus touches the blind eyes of Bartimaeus, and he receives his sight. This is a wonderful miracle that Jesus does in the life of Bartimaeus. And it's not just a physical story. It's not just a physical miracle, but there's tremendous spiritual significance to this passage of Scripture. And I believe that the spiritual significance is such of a degree that there's wonderful practical application for today. So don't tune me out just because you're not physically blind. Amen? All right. I want to introduce you to Bartimaeus. I want to show you three things about his life. Verse number 46. If you're taking notes in the bulletin, you see letter A, B, and C, and D. The first thing we find is that he's blind. We understand from his name that he is blind from his birth. Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus. If you look at verse number 46, he is the son of Timaeus. That's what Bartimaeus means. Bar means son of. Timaeus is his father's name. Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. It was a way that people were named back then. You might remember another guy who had a similar name, Barabbas. 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 If you remember Barabbas, he was the thief that was exchanged for the Lord Jesus. If the word bar means name of, bar, name of, rabbis, rabbis, rabbi, rabbi, by, rabbi. So bar, I'm getting all confused now. Barabbas is the son of a rabbi. Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. Now it's important that you understand what Timaeus means. Timaeus means unclean. Now, in the Bible days, Unclean meant that you were unworthy. It meant that you were separated. Do you remember when they had leprosy and they had to cover up their body? And if they came near anybody that didn't have leprosy, they would have to cry, unclean, unclean. And so you were not allowed to pass that way. If you were handicapped in your senses, or you were lame, or you were deaf, or you were blind, you were not allowed into the temple worship. If you remember when the Lord Jesus would heal the leper, or he touched the deaf man's ears or the lame man's legs, he would say, go to the priest, show yourself, offer yourself a sacrifice, and then go and worship. So there had to be this, there was this exclusion, and there could not be this inclusion while they were unclean. They had to be made whole. And the evidence that you were made whole was you showed yourself to the priest, you offered the sacrifices, and you went forward. Bartimaeus was the son of an unclean. He was named that way, born blind, never ever opened his eyes to see light. A lot of things that I would rather that I don't want to be, and probably one of them would be to be blind. You can imagine not being able to see. We have some folks in our church that are legally blind. How many have a blind person in your family? Totally blind. You've lived somewhat with blind. Not too many that live in that situation. Blind from his birth. We understand that because of his blindness, he's been benched, like we should do with some of the Dolphin football players. Look at the end of verse 46. Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat. The Bible says here he sat by the highway side. If you went to Matthew and you went to Luke, you would say that he sat by the wayside. Because Bartimaeus was blind, his infirmity has benched him in life. Remember, this is a time when life is moving. This is a time when the city is electric. This is a time when life is purposeful. And everybody is headed somewhere, but not Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus can't see. And so Bartimaeus, in his blindness, is benched on the wayside of life. Life is moving. Life is driving. Life is full and complete. And he's got, for some families, but not for Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus has been set aside. He's been benched in life. Because he's been benched in life, you will find that at the end of verse number 46, he's a beggar. He's a beggar. He's been shunned by society. He's been discarded by those that are perceived to be whole. He's been declared to be unfit to travel. He's despised by those that have an agenda. He's on his own. He's at the mercy of others, but he's on his own. He lives a meager life. He's unfulfilled. He's a dreamer. The sad thing is, even his dreams are without color. He doesn't know color. He doesn't know how to envision blue or envision green. His whole life is without color or joy. Bartimaeus. Those are his physical conditions. But I want you to understand something, that the Bible very carefully and very thoroughly uses the thought of blindness to describe a spiritual position. I want you to go with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. And I believe I can show you from 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and 2 Corinthians chapter 4 what the Bible declares to be spiritual blindness. If you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and you look at verse number 12, the Bible says, Paul writing, seeing then that we have such a hope, we use great plainness of speech. The Apostle Paul is talking about witnessing and preaching and the plainness of speech he uses. In verse 13, not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, but their minds were, what class? Blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in, say his name, Christ. So Paul said the Old Testament people were blinded in their mind, and they were blinded by a veil, and the veil that they could not see or see through was that of Christ. They couldn't see him. Look, if you would, at chapter 4, verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. That word lost there is anybody that's never been born again. In whom the God, small g, speaking of the devil, of this world, hath, what's that word class? Blinded, 2 Corinthians 4:4, the minds of them which believe not. So in the Old Testament, there were people that were blinded about Christ. In the New Testament, there's the position of spiritual blindness. Now look what he describes as blindness. It's unbelief. They do not believe in verse number 4. And they do not believe in what? Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And so the Bible says and defines anybody who's never been born again, anybody who has never humbled themselves and received Jesus by faith, the Bible says that that person is living a life of spiritual blindness. Isaiah, when he described the nation of Israel after their rejection of the Lord Jesus, he used a word like this. He said in Isaiah 59:10, he said, we grope for the wall like the blind. We grope as if we had no eyes. We're walking around as dead men. You know, I think that could describe our culture today. We live in a culture today that thinks it can spiritually see, but it's as spiritually blind like a dead man. We live in a culture today that's wandering around, and they're wandering around in their pride. They're wandering around in their arrogance. They're wandering around in their own imagination, and they think they can see, but really, truthfully, they're like blind men groping for the wall. The Bible says that spiritual blindness is that which is an all-outright rejection of the Lord. And the Bible says that it is Satan that is blinding the minds of men and women. Now, let me tell you something. If you do not have a biblical understanding or belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, but your faith is set in some other person or thing, your mind, according to the Word of God, is being blinded by the God of this world. But I got news for you. The God of this world is not a God. The true God is Jesus Christ. You need to listen today. Don't listen to the preacher. Listen to the Word of God. Such spiritual application. I had you hold your hand in Isaiah 6. Go to Isaiah chapter 6. There's a passage of scripture here where Isaiah sees the Lord and he sees the person of Christ. In verse number 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. One cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Isaiah's got an awesome view of the Lord Jesus. Listen to his response in verse number 5. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of, say that word class, unclean, unclean, unclean. In our text, we've got Bartimaeus, son of the unclean, a man born blind. Isaiah said, when it comes spiritually speaking, and when I get a glimpse of the Lord Jesus, I realize that in me there is no righteousness, in me there is no holiness, in me there is nothing that merits eternal life, and I find myself in the position of uncleanness. And the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every single person in this room was born a sinner under the condemnation of our sin. Amen? But Bartimaeus, in Mark chapter 10, come back now. This was his physical condition, and it's representative of the spiritual condition of men and women today that have not been born again. And if you look at verse number 47, the Bible says, and when he, what's that word, class? Heard. Heard. Now, Bartimaeus couldn't see, but he had excellent hearing. They tell me when a person loses one of their senses that the other senses are heightened. So a deaf person may have incredible touch. That's where we got the Braille system. A blind person has incredible hearing. Bartimaeus lived a life of complete darkness. So his ears became his eyes. And the way that Bartimaeus navigated life was through his hearing. He learned what was dangerous and what was attractive. He learned what would be profitable and what was lost. He learned what was kind as opposed to what was angry. He learned what was trustworthy versus untrustworthy, not with his eyes, but with his ears. He made life by hearing. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. What does that mean? That means in order for you to come to faith in Jesus Christ, you must hear about Jesus Christ. There must be the hearing of this. Do not lose the context. The whole city is moving in intensity toward the Passover. Bartimaeus is on. He's blind, he's benched, he's a beggar. But Bartimaeus has something that the rest of these folks didn't have. He has faith. He believed. The Bible says in verse number 47, and when he heard, now note very carefully what he hears, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, say that with me. Thou son of David, thou son of David. Wait a minute now. When you can't see, your hearing is elevated. All of the people that could see with their physical eyes saw Jesus of Nazareth. But Bartimaeus, he saw Jesus, the son of David. Pastor, where are you going with this? Jesus of Nazareth was the humanity way of describing him. He was born in Bethlehem. He came out of Nazareth. The Pharisee said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? He was the son of a carpenter. The whole world moving toward Passover saw Jesus as just another man. But Bartimaeus saw him as God. And I want you to know something. Jesus is the perfect man and he is perfect God. Everybody's saying, it's Jesus of Nazareth. And Bartimaeus says, no, it's Jesus, the son of David. That was his deity title. That was evidence that he is God. And Bartimaeus had heard about this Jesus of Nazareth. He had heard about Isaiah 61 when the great prophet Isaiah said there would come a man and the Spirit of God would be upon him and he would deliver the captive and he would open the eyes of the blind and he would make beauty out of ashes and he would comfort those that would mourn. He would be virgin born. And Bartimaeus had heard all about that. Bartimaeus heard just a few moments earlier when Jesus went into the temple and he said, give me that book of Isaiah. Jesus took the book of Isaiah. Jesus opened up to Isaiah 61. He read the verses, closed the book, and he said, this day is all of that fulfilled. I am the one anointed with the Spirit of God. What was Jesus saying? I am God. And Bartimaeus had heard that, and Bartimaeus believed it. Blind, benched, a beggar, but believing. Now, because Bartimaeus believed, look what he cried out for. Verse 47, and Jesus, thou son of David, have what class? Mercy. Mercy. He knew that mercy was promised. He knew that Messiah would be merciful. And so he believes that Jesus is who he said he was. And he begins to cry out for mercy. Let me tell you something. You might be in this room and you may be on a search for mercy. And you may be disappointed in the area of mercy. You may have come to this pastor for mercy and found that I'm not very merciful. You may have come to this church and you have found that church people can be totally unmerciful. You may have gone to some righteous person and found them that they can be unmerciful. But I want you to know something. Jesus is never unmerciful. And Bartimaeus is believing and he begins to cry out. In verse number 48. And many charged him that he should shut up. That might not be in your Bible, but that's what it says. That he should hold his peace. If you were to go to Matthew, it says they rebuked him. Luke says they rebuked him. Now you got to stay with me. This is the whole reason I'm preaching this series. I believe that the belief that spawned in in Bartimaeus's heart. He believed who Jesus said he was, and at that moment, Bartimaeus becomes vulnerable. At that moment, Bartimaeus begins to see himself, he begins to see the Lord, and he begins to forget everything and everyone, and there is a moment of honesty where he becomes vulnerable and begins to cry out for the Lord. And I believe there might be some people in this room. You've had that moment, but you need to understand something. Jesus taught us a parable about the sower that went about sowing the seed. And he said when he threw the seed of the word of God, some of that word of God landed on hard soil. Some of that word of God landed on shallow soil. Some of that word of God landed on thorny soil. And some of it landed on good soil. And he said when the sower threw the seed on the hard soil, that before the seed could get into the ground, the birds would come and pluck the seed. I saw that. I shot them with my gun to keep it from happening. So Jesus has thrown the seed of salvation. Bartimaeus has become vulnerable. But here comes the devil after Bartimaeus. And who does the devil use to try to keep Bartimaeus from Jesus? The religious crowd. All of those multitudes of folks who think they're on their way to perform some religious ceremony. They're on their way in their piousness. They're on their way to serve the Lord. They don't care anything about Bartimaeus. They don't even regard him. They see him as hopeless. They see him as unworthy. They see him as being unclean. They see him as not even holding a candle to them. They are embarrassed. They are mad. They're telling him to shut up and stifle him. They're doing anything they can do to squash that because they don't want that to frown upon them. They don't care. Let me tell you something. Religion doesn't care about you, but Jesus died for you. Religion doesn't care about you, but Jesus does. And so Bartimaeus, he can't see, but he hear. He knows it's God. He begins to cry out. Now, Bartimaeus, he doesn't stop crying. If you look at verse number 48, he intensifies his cry. And he cried the more a great deal, "Thou, Son of David, have mercy on me." And then we come to the compassionate Christ. And Jesus does a couple of things here that I want to conclude with about the Lord. The first thing that the cry does is in verse 49, Jesus stands still. Do you see that? And Jesus stood still. Amen if you see it. He stood still. Look at this preacher a second. The cry of repentance and mercy will always make Jesus stand still. You and I live in a moving world. Matter of the fact, one of the marks of success of our society is how fast we move. I told you before, you buy a smartphone, it's stupid before you pay your first bill. Technology is just moving. You can get on an airplane here and in 10 hours be on the other side of the world. You can get in a train and you can set that train, and that train can go 100 miles an hour, and it can move you from part of the country to part of the country. We can move you from world to world. You can put on some kind of visionary thing and travel anywhere you want to go. Now you got all this electronic banking. You just swipe this, type this, push this. This is already done. Go online here. Get on the information highway. Our world is on the move. And if you have a flip phone, you're behind. Some of you in this room, you've never been saved. You've never been born again. You're spiritually blind. And because you're spiritually blind, it's you're benched. You're by the wayside. And you feel like just moving by and moving by. And you ask questions like, why am I here? What is the purpose? Why are these people murdered? Why are these babies aborted? Why does this tragedy happen? How come I was this? Why do these things go on? How come I can't ever get a sense of belonging? Why am I so unsatisfied? Why do I not feel like I belong or I'm part? I got all these questions. It's, Pastor, the world is moving so fast, I just can't keep up. Well, I got news for you. The same Jesus that in front of Bartimaeus is the same Jesus that created the world. And don't get lost about the priority of your life. You and I were born unclean, and we need redemption in Christ. And I do think that the Bible says that Satan is the god and the prince of the air of this world. Do you notice that almost all of the moving of our society is now through the air? And I think Satan has sped up our society so fast. Nobody reads anymore. Nobody thinks anymore. Nobody's got time to listen to the preacher preach for an hour and a half. Not you either. We just boom. 1 minute you're 18, the next minute you're 80. And all the 80s said, James said, what is your life but a vapor? And Nicodemus is watching, he's listening to life go by. And he says, have mercy. And Jesus stops. And I don't care how horrible you think your life is or how horrible it's going by. If you will cry out for Jesus, he will stop in your life. And then Jesus called for him. Verse 49. And he commanded to be called, and they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. I want you to say those three words with me. Came to Jesus. Again, came to Jesus. Came to Jesus. So here's what happened. Jesus stops. He hears the cry of mercy, and he calls for Bartimaeus to come to him. Now, immediately, Bartimaeus is scared out of his mind. Matter of fact, they have to encourage him by saying, be of good cheer. Get up, man. The master's calling. You know, I find that our society has preached a louder message than our churches. And now the society says, you got to be afraid to come to God. You got to be afraid of what God is going to do. You got to be afraid of the judgment. Don't you dare expose your thought. Don't you dare expose your secret. You know, if he calls you and you don't measure up, you're in big trouble. I got news for you. Jesus never called anybody that measures up. He calls us so he can begin to measure in us his fullness. And so people are scared out of their mind to come. Oh, Pastor, I had an affair. Or Pastor, I'm on drugs. Or Pastor, I'm filled with pride. I'm dishonest. I don't pay my taxes. I don't do this. Pastor, if you knew all these things, all these secrets in my life, I'm one big secret. And if I came to Jesus, I would be afraid. No. If you came to religion, we would annihilate you. But Jesus won't annihilate you. By the way, he knows all your secrets anyway. Go get the blind man. Bartimaeus, get up! Look what Bartimaeus did. He cast off his garment. What was he saying? That garment was precious to him. That garment represented the old life. That garment was all he had. And Bartimaeus realized that I don't want this old life anymore. I want a new life. I don't want to be laying blind on this garment. I want to have sight. I don't want to be by the wayside. I want to be in Christ. And so Bartimaeus cast off his garment. That's a sign of repentance. That's a sign that he doesn't want that sin anymore. That was a hindrance to him. Let me tell you something. The devil will offer you all kinds of hindrances, and you've got all kinds of garments in your life and blankets and things that we keep that keep us from coming to the Lord, and we're comfortable and we feel secure and we feel hidden and we feel like that's measuring up. But let me tell you something. You must receive the garment of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Nobody gets saved unless you're willing to repent of your sin. So Bartimaeus could have said, I got a good spot right here. These people are throwing me money. I'm not casting off my garment. I might lose my place. But Jesus said, call him. He cast off his garment and then he came to Jesus. Did you know that nobody gets to heaven that doesn't come to Jesus? Well, we're going to have a come to Jesus meeting. What does that mean? Whoever says we're having a come to Jesus meeting doesn't know what they're talking about. All that's religion. They kind of think, well, somehow you've reformed yourself or you've reformed your thinking. Let me tell you how you must come to Jesus. Look at verse number 52. And Jesus said unto them, go thy way, thy what class? Faith. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Faith alone. Bartimaeus cast off his garment, sign of repentance. But he came to Jesus physically, but he came to Jesus in that spiritual significance by faith. Every single person in this room must come to Jesus by faith. You have to. Well, Pastor, what does that mean, come to Jesus by faith? I believe there's a God. Believing in God does not save you. Well, I love Jesus. Loving Jesus doesn't save you. Well, I'm here. Coming to this church doesn't save you. I give money. Close. But giving money doesn't save you. For by grace are you saved through faith. There has to be a time in your life when you believe that Jesus is God. There has to be a time when you have faith that erupts off of that belief that exposes you as being blind, a sinner, lost, in need of a Savior. There must be a time when you reckon that being a sinner and you come to Jesus by faith and you say, you love me, you died, you were buried, you rose again, you paid for my sin, and I'm coming to you and I'm asking you to come into my heart and I'm trusting you to forgive me of all my sin, and you alone are to be my Savior. You must have that moment where you deposit your faith on the Lord. That's called born again. If you've had that moment, say amen. Amen. Religion doesn't offer you that moment. You'll see Dr. Dave, my neck just cracked. Religion doesn't offer you that moment, but Jesus offers you that moment. And then he does something to change it. He stood still. He called for him. And then look at verse number 52, and I'll hurry to a close here. I'm done. And immediately he received his sight. And read those last five words with me. Followed Jesus. The last three words, please. In the way. Now come over here to 46. He sat by the highway, begging. After he put his faith in Christ, he followed Jesus in the way. Now, can I show you why I preach this whole message? Come to Matthew chapter 19, chapter 20. You got to read Matthew 20 so you understand your preacher. I appreciate hearing all those Bible pages. Not against electronics. Just get you an app that sounds like your Bible page is turning. Hold on, Christian. Don't tune me out. Verse 34. So Jesus had, say it out loud, compassion. He had compassion on them and he touched their eyes. They received sight. You know why you can trust Jesus? Because he's compassionate. In his compassion, he reached out and he touched their eyes. He touched their life. Let me tell you something. This room is full of people who have had their lives touched by the Lord. And we want you to know he's compassionate and he's trustworthy. And then he brings purpose and meaning to your life. And he picks up Bartimaeus off by the highway side. And now Bartimaeus is walking with the Savior, walking in the way, following the Lord. His whole life has been transformed. Religion can't transform you, but Jesus can. Pastor, my life's a mess. Come to Jesus by faith. Pastor, I lack purpose. Come to Jesus by faith. Pastor, I need to be touched. Come to Jesus by faith. He and he alone. Now, Christian, let me ask you a question. How are you following the Lord today? How are you following the Lord today? I was thinking about the joy it is to have the Lord lead us as a shepherd, but I'm concerned about the body of Christ. I'm concerned that we're not like Bartimaeus, but we might be more like Peter. The Bible says that Peter was following the Lord from a distance. From a distance. I want to ask you a question. How close are you following the Lord? When's the last time you heard his voice? When's the last time you saw which way he went as he was leading you? When's the last time you felt the strength of his hands as he said it's going to be okay? When's the last time you saw grace in his eyes? When's the last time you saw him do something mighty and majestic and miraculous? How close are you to the Lord? Peter followed from a distance and he found himself warming his hands up by the fire of the world. I want to ask you a question, Christian. Are you warming your hands by the fire of the world? Where do we stand? I mean this. Where do we stand? If we're following the Lord and we're close enough near him and we walk with him, then we won't need the world's fire. But I'm asking you, some area of your life, Christian, where you're warming yourself with the world. The world, that thought process, not the people, but that thought process that's against the Bible, that thought process hates Jesus Christ. A Christian has no business warming his hands up by the fire of the world. Peter started warming his hands up by the fire of the world, and then it was pretty soon he started cursing and denying the Lord. Why? He didn't follow the Lord from a distance. From a distance. I'm wondering where our church is, where you are. I ask myself that. Lord, am I following you close? Am I obedient? Am I trusting you? Can I see you? Lord, do I hear your voice? Or am I over here getting warm with the world? Or if you're glad Jesus saved you, say amen. Why would we go back to the world? The world has nothing to offer us that cannot be trumped by Jesus Christ. So if you're here and you're not born again, Satan's blinding your eyes. You need to be saved. You need to come to Christ by faith. There's no other way. Christian, if you're here, are you blind? Has he blinded you from following the Lord? Where are we? Where are we? Amen? Let's stand. Let's pray.